Well, many years ago, I worked in Kenya, and that meant doing a lot of traveling in East Africa, doing workshops, not just in Kenya, but in neighboring countries. And one journey took me on a specially chartered flight up to the north of Kenya, right on the border between Sudan and Kenya. I was going into Kakuma refugee camp to do a worship workshop there. And on the Sunday morning, as I went to attend their Sunday morning worship service, I was not prepared for how joyful an occasion it was going to be. There was over 1,000 Sudanese refugees, and they'd lost so much. They'd lost their homes, they'd lost their families, many of them. Entire clans had been wiped out. And yet they had come to this place of worship. Many had come with wooden crosses that they had made themselves. And as they sang, they pulsed the wooden crosses up and down to the rhythm of what they were singing. And as I looked out at this group of people, it was like a sea pulsing. And it was so joyful. There was much dancing, much joy that day. And I later asked them, how can you be joyful? Here you are in a refugee camp. You've lost so much. You've lost your families, cousins, uncles. Some of you have lost parents, brothers and sisters, entire groups of people. And yet you come to worship with joy, carrying your cross. Why is that? And they would have replied, yes, it's true, we know what we have lost because of the war in our country. We have so little left, but we choose to carry the cross wherever we go because we know it's through this cross that God has placed us in a larger family. We are not alone. And today, I know for Sarah and for Angel, you've lost someone very special to you. But I want to remind you that God has placed you in this family today. No one will be able to take the place of your father. He is a special man, and it's natural to feel that loss today. But I want us all to think about the cross and what it means for each one of us. And how through coming to the cross, God places us in a kingdom family that will outlast this world. It's eternal. And you will never lose that family. So how does this cross do that for us today? What is it that Jesus did when he died on the cross that helps us belong to the kingdom family? Well, when Jesus was dying on the cross, he said those words, "It is finished." And there's something positive Jesus was saying, and also something negative through those words, "It is finished." We use that word in the same way, positively and negatively. You can say it is finished positively when you've been working hard at a project, and it's complete, it's finished. Or you're painting a beautiful picture, it's complete, it's finished. But you can say it negatively too, because maybe that project took so much out of you. It created a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. And even though you finished it, you could say, it finished me. Because it was hard work. And when the Apostle Paul was talking about the cross in Romans chapter 7, he says there's something positive happening here and something negative. And the picture that Paul uses to help us understand the cross in Romans 7, in order to become part of the larger family, is the picture of marriage. Paul says, imagine a woman who is married to a man. That means they're connected together. They're bound together by a marriage contract. But let's say this man dies. What happens then to the marriage law? Well, if someone of the two parties in a marriage dies, then the other person is free to go find someone else to be married to in good conscience. The marriage law is no longer binding. And Paul uses this picture to describe us. He says, before Jesus died on the cross, we were married into something. And Paul calls that the law of the first Adam. And this was a good law, but it was still a heavy burden on us all. Because even though we were trying always to do the right thing and to follow the law, just like in a marriage you try and please each other, it's never enough. You can never fulfill the law perfectly. And Paul says this marriage was dominated by rules, and even though we tried our best to keep those rules, we'll never be able to keep it perfectly. And so instead we'll carry guilt and shame, and this marriage keeps us in chains, and it can be oppressive because we're always failing. But when Jesus died on the cross, he was someone so perfect. He'd never done anything wrong. He was able to keep the law perfectly in a way that we never could. And when Jesus cried out those words on the cross, "It is finished," he was saying, this marriage you once had to the law, all those rules, all those regulations of how to be good, it's now finished because I have died for you. No one else needs to pay the price because I have paid all your debts in this marriage. It is finished, and now you're free to get married to another. Free to be married not to the law, but to God himself, the Son of God. And so you see, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the negative part is no longer do you have to live in a way where you never feel worthy enough. Just like when a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he's alive, but when he dies, she's free to marry someone else. No longer are you chained to the old law. That's the negative part. But the positive part is it is finished. Because Jesus died, he set us free to be married to him. And so Paul writes in Romans 7, when Jesus died, he took that entire rule-dominated way of life down with him into the grave, leaving you free to marry a resurrected life instead. And Paul said, when we believe this, if we get included in Christ's sin conquering death, we also get included in his resurrection. Because Jesus took sin down with him when he died. But when he was alive, he brings God down to us. And you see, God wants us to have this marriage with him, this marriage of abundant life. To live life to the full and to enjoy being united to Christ. That's not based on duty, but on delight. And the way Jesus did this was through the cross. And Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, he left his Father. He was separated from his own Father. In those last hours when he was dying, he cried out, "God, you've forsaken me, you've left me, you've abandoned me." And Jesus did that so that we would never feel abandonment, so that we would never feel alone. Jesus took those things so that we could enjoy fellowship with God. So you see, there is this new family waiting to welcome anyone who has faith in what the cross is all about. And the beauty of that cry, "It is finished," is that Jesus came to do something positive, to welcome us into his family. And the beauty of this kingdom family is that we don't have to wait until we die to know that we belong to this family. It begins now. We don't have to die, because through Jesus' death on the cross, our bodies are also united to Christ. Because when Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and that removed the separation between God and man. Yes, there'll be a day when we know this fullness in all its beauty and all its glory. No more sadness, no more duty-bound living. But today we can taste it now. We were once married to this old way of life, to someone who would make us feel guilty. But Christ sets us free. God is not like this policeman who wags his finger every time we forget to do the right thing, but he sets us free to enjoy this love relationship with him. And we can know that today. This is what gave the Sudanese Christians so much joy as they sang with their crosses on that Sunday. So much joy in worship, even though they had lost so much. They knew about the cross. And when I was telling this story at a worship service in Ireland about the Sudanese Christians and their crosses, after the service, a lady came up and talked to me and said, "Karen, I know exactly the crosses you are talking about." And she began to tell me her story. She'd been through a lot in her life. Her husband was very ill, terminally and permanently. And it seemed like the world was heavy on her. So she said, "I made a decision to take a break. And I went to Scotland to a retreat center just to get some rest for the long journey ahead." And the people in the retreat center brought her to this room that had been set up by an American missionary who had worked with the people in this refugee camp that I was speaking about. And what made this room so special was that on the wall of the bedroom were hanging all these wooden crosses. Because you see, what this missionary had done, every time a Sudanese Christian had been martyred for their faith, he took the cross and he carried it all the way over to Scotland and put it on the wall. And so you see, on this wall was displayed all these wooden crosses that had come all the way from Sudan as a testimony of people who were prepared to stand for their faith when they had nothing else to stand for. And as this woman was telling me her story, she said, "I used to sit and look at this wall of crosses and reflect on the depth of suffering that I saw in front of me. And that cross brought me comfort because I realized what I'm going through, I'm not alone. There are people who have walked this journey before. I have a great family in Christ Jesus that will far outlast my present sufferings." And slowly her faith began to strengthen again because of her time in Scotland. Praise God that through the cross we are no longer abandoned. Jesus has done so much for us, so that in the moments in life when you find your own life too heavy to bear, we realize we are not alone. God has placed us in a community and family of faith. He invites us into this family where we will be children of Him forever. So what does the cross mean to you today? Does it bring this kind of comfort and hope? Does it help you come to terms with that deep loneliness that we all can feel in life? It certainly helped the Apostle Paul when he wrote the book of Romans. That's what enabled him to say the passage that Angel read for us earlier. I'm convinced nothing can separate us from God's love. Not death, nor life, not angels or demons. No fears for today or worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of truth that we believe, and on it our faith rises to be with God. And so we pray these words as if they're ours to own and ours to live, that nothing can separate us from His love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.